The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome to the Monday edition of Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio Network. Get your Bible. We're going to begin our study of the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. My name is Alex McFarland. To my right, not 1,000 miles away, but just 2 feet away, is my brother, colleague, and friend, Bert Harper.
It's always good to have you here in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Well, you know, I found out that when I'm in the studio and we're side by side and there's Brent over on the board, there just aren't any technical issues like when I'm on the road.
Well, I'm telling you, we don't have to have that thing. How many seconds are they delayed? People don't know all the background, but sometimes it's a great adventure. Yeah. To make sure that you're connected, and praise the Lord for strong connections on the internet wherever you are, brother. I'll tell you that.
Well, I'll tell you, five, 6 years ago when Marvin and I were just starting and I would be on the road traveling, and I guess the internet ability of the nation was not quite as substantive as it is now. It really was hard. But, you know, it's a good thing because I've been in churches, I've been in airport lobbies, I've been in hotels, a lot of hotels. And I'll set up the radio gear, and a crowd will gather, and people will stand and listen to the show. And, I mean, we've been able to share the gospel in a number of ways. But, folks, I want you to know we are so deeply appreciative of each and every one of you listening. We just wrapped up a study of the book of Leviticus.
We did.
And then we did some Fire Away Friday, a lot of Q&A, and I was on the road
preaching. Thursday and Friday.
We did?
Yeah.
And were you on the road preaching this weekend?
No. I was not, man. I got preached too. I don't know if you need that every once in a while, Alex.
I do.
But I do.
So. I love to be able to go and hear good preaching. And I was traveling this past weekend. I was at Adams Farm Church in Jamestown, North Carolina. This upcoming weekend, Angie and I will be on the road. We're going out to California to be with David Jeremiah for an event out there. But just so glad to be here in the studios. And folks, if you don't know it, the American Family Radio Network, you may be listening live. You can hear the programs on the website, afr.net.
Right, around the world.
All over. If you aren't listening to a terrestrial station, you can listen online. And, pray for Bert and me. We're recording this week, and we've got some stuff coming up that we just think is pretty special.
We do. And there's one more thing special I need to share. We got some possibility of new listeners in Northern Virginia.
Okay.
We've been looking forward for that radio station to be up and running, and it is WARN. Does that spell Warren, if I'm not
W-A-R-N, yeah. Warren. Oh, no, okay.
Wow.
Like a warning.
Yeah. 91.3 FM in Northern Virginia.
Cool.
So if you're listening today, somebody up there, we're going to give you a phone number. And we would love for somebody in Northern Virginia to call in today, and we'll tell Lene that if they call in, we want them to go to the top of the list. We would love to hear from them today.
Well, amen. And I'm going to give that number. Now, what we're going to do, as we always do, the first couple of segments, first half of the show, we're going to begin Deuteronomy chapter 1. Then we'll get to your Bible questions, toll-free, nationwide, wherever you are. It won't cost you a penny, and you can ask your Bible questions, 888-589-8840. I do want to say a couple of things. I give God the glory. The curriculum we did for American Family Studios, the 21 Toughest Questions Kids Will Ask About God, it was nominated for an award, and over the weekend, it got the bronze award.
Kind of like the Olympics, bronze award.
Sort of. And we were alongside some incredible other ministries like Answers in Genesis, and I was very honored that the International Christian Visual Media Association gave us an award, and we give God the glory for that. The other thing, I wrote a book called Stand Strong America. Just came out, Stand Strong America, and we are getting pictures from across the nation. It's in Barnes & Noble stores.
Amen.
And we encourage
some good material in Barnes & Noble.
Well, yeah.
Amen.
And so, you know, to be able to preach the message and call our country to righteousness, and then we're making a ripple or two. We give God the glory, and we thank all of you all for your prayers and for your support.
Well, what we're going to do, we're going to open with a word of prayer, and just pray for those new listeners in Northern Virginia that they'll be blessed, and then we're going to get to Deuteronomy. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of coming to you. And we thank you that this new station is opened up, and we pray that it would bring about souls into your kingdom, and also that it would equip and activate those to help our nation to be a strong nation where the gospel can go forth and it be unhindered. That's our prayer. That's our goal. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well said.
Well, the book of Deuteronomy, it means in some courses, it's got different names in different versions or translations, I should say, according to the Jewish and everything. But basically, we find out it's the second law given.
Yeah.
And when we finish the book of Leviticus, you know, you and I say, well, where could we go? And I started looking through the books that we had not done, and it was obvious. Deuteronomy, get through with the first time the law was given, go to the second time. Now, why was it given the second time, Alex? It's because it was just about 38 years difference in when it was given first and when it was given second, because a whole new generation was ready to go in, weren't they?
Well, you know, in Jewish history, it's sometimes called the Book of Remembrance. And you know, they're out on the plains of Moab, and there's really some kind of farewell messages from Moses. Moses is given sort of his final speeches to the people. And I think this second law, or this restatement of the holiness and righteousness and moral code of God, is worth repeating. We've talked about this a lot. Oftentimes in the Word of God, there is repetition.
It's a good teaching mechanism.
Yeah, you'll find these words, I call you to remembrance.
Right.
And God calls us to remembrance too, doesn't he?
And that's what the first three chapters is just about, all about. Letting them know and remembering where they came from, what had happened in these 40 years, basically 38, because they stayed there a year, they rebelled, and so it's close to 38 to 39 years later that they're ready to go in,
sure.
And then another few weeks before they go in, so it's basically rounded off to 40 years. But here we find out that they're ready to go in. Now listen to these first words, and I think they're very instructive. I found them instructive. Verse 2, it is in chapter 1, it is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. Mm-hmm. Now, 11 days' journey, okay? Hopefully they'd stay there a year and then they'd go on in. But listen to verse 3. Now it came to pass in the 40th year.
Wow, yeah.
Get that contrast? Here they were supposed to go in, but 40 years later, they go in. Well, I would say that was delayed gratification, but because of their own sin.
Well, that's right. That's why we have to bear two words in mind, Exodus and conquest. The generation of the Exodus and the generation of the conquest are really two different people groups, aren't they?
They are. If you remember, what they do here, that's what exactly Moses does.
Mm-hmm.
He brings them about and he gets them there. And notice what he says in verse 6, the Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. They stayed at that mountain close to a year.
Yeah,
okay?
They did.
And it was time to go in, okay? And God had separated them from Egypt into this wilderness to go into the Holy Land.
Right.
I think he brought them through the wilderness so they wouldn't want to stay there. You catch what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so they would want to go into the land flowing with milk and honey. So that was what God had in mind, but...
Do you remember he said in, I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 8, I think it's in 8, where God says, I know thy walking through this great and terrible wilderness. See, we go through wildernesses. Fortunately, we don't stay there. And we ought not really become comfortable there. Now, sometimes we find ourselves in a wilderness of our own making, and, you know, our own decisions can take us out into the rough parts, but we should not get comfortable there, because God has a promised land and a rest and a blessing for his children.
So they were at Kadesh Barnea. They received the law, and it says that they sent 12 spies. Now, God didn't tell them to send 12 spies. That was their desire, and God let them have their desire.
Right.
He said, okay, go in. So he sent one person from every tribe into the land to explore the land, to see what it was like, to bring back a report. I got a question for you.
What?
Now, those of you that are listening know how good Alex is. His memory is beyond description far as I'm concerned. I wished I had a little bit of his memory, but I'm going to check him out here. There were 12 spies. Now, don't you look it up and look at the scripture.
I'm not.
I want you to know. Yeah. Name the 10 spies that said, do not go into the land. If you could, can you even name one?
I know the two good spies.
I know. Can you name one of the 10 spies that said, let's not go up?
I can't. I really can't.
Now, what does that tell you?
The voices of dissent. I'm thinking about my little niece, Alexandria, who we helped raise.
Well, that's a good name. Sound like named after someone.
Alexandria, you know. But she used to do a little sing-song, and if she ever sang it once, she's sung this 500 times. 12 men went to spy out Canaan. 10 were bad. 2 were good. What do you think when they saw Canaan? 10 were bad. 2 were good. Do you remember that?
No, that's new to me now.
Some saw giants big and tall. Some saw grapes in clusters fall. Some saw God was in it all. 10 were bad. 2 were good. Do you remember that little
sing song? No, I do. Brent, have you ever heard that one? Brent hadn't heard it either.
I can't.
That must have been North Carolinian, and you guys didn't send it west to Mississippi.
Some saw giants big and tall. That was the 10.
Yeah.
Some saw grapes in clusters fall. Some saw God was in it all. Now, Joshua and Caleb said, we can do this. God is with us. There's more of us than them. But the majority opinion ruled, and the majority opinion was wrong.
They were.
Now, I'm writing an article right now. When, in fact, you and I broke away to come and do this show, and I've got to finish this and turn it into to Fox News, actually. But the majority opinion in America has decided on some things.
Just today.
But that doesn't make it right, does it?
Doesn't make it right. Well, let me share what he says here in chapter 1, verse 28. It says, after they did this, it says, nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God.
Mm.
You would not. Now, what was God's will?
That they take the land.
But they what?
They said no thanks.
They said no thanks.
Not right now.
Not right now.
And they wandered 40 years. Let me say this. Adrian Rogers used to say, delayed obedience is disobedience. And more hangs on our obedience than we realize. More repercussions come from our disobedience than we realize.
And so they heard the Lord, they saw, they heard the reports, and they chose to believe the 10 rather than the 2, and they delayed what God said to do. And verse 32 says, yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God. There it is. It's really, you don't believe God.
Well, here's the thing. If they believe that God could get them out of an Egypt safely, why wouldn't they believe that God could put them into a promised land?
I know.
Safely?
Look what they had seen in getting them out.
Oh, my goodness. The plagues of Egypt, the hail, the Nile turned to blood.
And it wasn't that long ago, was it?
No. This was just weeks ago. And we've got a short memory, don't we?
We do. Now, there's some beautiful words here, and I'm just going to give you a little bit, and we'll come back. It says, surely, verse 35, surely, not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land of which I swore to give to their fathers. The 20 years old and up, they died, except, isn't that a beautiful word, except Caleb. Okay, and then it says, but Joshua. Those two guys, they had the minority report, but their minority report was right, wasn't it, Alex?
It really was. And so they wept before the Lord because of their decisions. Hey, this is Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, stay tuned. We're going to continue in Deuteronomy chapter 1, plus your Bible questions and more when we come back. Don't go away.
More than a million believers have signed the pledge to boycott Target, and we urge you to join them. The American Family Association opposes the policy of Target allowing transgenders into the bathroom of their choice. Here's AFA President Tim Wildman.
There's a reason why we've had male and female separation in restrooms and fitting rooms for all of mankind's history.
A policy which allows men into women's restrooms and fitting rooms is not right, nor is it safe.
I just can't see corporate executives at Target or anywhere else sitting around a table going, you know, guys, I think we need to open up our women's restrooms for men.
Visit AFA.net to learn more and sign the pledge to boycott Target. Don't spend your money at Target until they stop putting our family members at risk with this dangerous, politically correct policy.
Protect your wives, daughters, your sisters, your moms. Don't shop at Target. Let them know.
That's AFA.net.
This is Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. For decades, the fellowship, led by founder and president Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein, has been committed to building bridges of understanding between Christians and Jews around the world. Earlier this year, Rabbi Eckstein was a guest on Jewish Life Television's Main Street with Phil Blazer. He discussed his life's work and passion. Here's Rabbi Eckstein on how brotherhood, not politics, has brought Christians and Jews together like never before.
I deliberately call this the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, not the Alliance of Christians and Jews, because what I'm trying to do is build this relationship. So the whole idea of Christians recovering their Jewish roots, realizing that Jesus was a Jew, that the followers were Jews, that their roots are in Judaism, and to deepen their spiritual ties with Israel and the Jewish people. I'd say that was probably my greatest accomplishment. My name was out there, suggested to become president of Israel last year when Shimon Peres's term was over. That would have been nice, but I'm not a politician. I never thought of that. I just do what long-term goals might be, as much as continue to help Israel and the Jewish people by building bridges of cooperation and healing and understanding with Christians around the world.
You've been listening to Holy Land Moments. For more information about Israel and the Jewish people, visit our new learning center at ifcj.org/learn.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk, studying the Bible and taking your questions.
Speak to me. I've opened up your word to free me. I want to hear you now.
Pastor and author Chuck Swindoll says the book of Deuteronomy is, in many ways, about trust. Are you really going to trust God to meet your needs, or are you going to seek your own way? Well, this is Alex McFarland with me, Bert Harper, and we are in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy and kind of laying the groundwork for our study, and we're going to go through, there's 34 chapters, I believe it is. In a way, look at this, folks, because this is kind of Moses' last address to the people.
Exactly.
And there's kind of three messages. 1 through 4 is a message. 4 through 26 is a message. And then 27 through 34. So it's almost like three major addresses to the people that God has put Moses in charge of.
And then Joshua finishes it up with Moses' funeral.
That's right.
But they didn't know where he's buried.
Now think about this. In terms of the big panorama of God's word, and you're right, because God did the funeral.
Yeah, that's right. We'll get to that.
In the Bible, God does a wedding and God does a funeral.
He does. Amen.
But
at the wedding, he did the wedding. He was the best man and he gave the bride away.
That's right.
He did
it all.
In the book
of Genesis.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, some very, very, very famous scriptures come out of Deuteronomy.
They do. Like, and Jesus quoted Deuteronomy quite a bit.
Oh, exactly. And very famously, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve, called out Joshua. Very famous Deuteronomy 6 that we'll get to. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I mean, there's a lot of very famous biblical truth that we all know that comes to us from this precious book.
So what he does in verse 1, he takes them through the beginning of getting them out and really getting stuck at Kadesh Barnea and the punishment that was upon them. In chapter 2, the verse that I really think helps for us to understand is verse 7, "For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through the great wilderness." It wasn't easy. He knows that. Now listen to this one. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, you have lacked nothing. Okay? Even in the wilderness and even at a difficult place, you have lacked nothing. Makes me think that God has given us, according to the New Testament, everything we need in this life for life and godliness. Everything. So he's given us everything. So he says in verse 8, "And when you passed beyond our brethren, the descendants of Esau who dwell in Seir, away from the road of the plain, away from Elath, Ezron, Jabur, we turned and passed the way of the wilderness of Moab." So what I wanted to read that. Mm-hmm. We're introduced to all the people that live in this peninsula, Alex. And there's two that they do not fight and two battles that they fight. Mm-hmm. You notice? Now, why would he not want them to fight? Let me give it. The Moabites and the Ammonites. Were there a connection there?
Well, yeah, there's a connection. Notice, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 2. It says, when we pass by our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Mount Seir, see, they're related. Now, before we get too far, I want to go back just a little bit to verse 3 of chapter 2. "You've compassed this mountain long enough. Turn northward." They've got this promised land that they're on the way to. And God says, don't take Mount Seir because that's not yours. Don't distress the Moabites. This is verse 9. "I've given Ar unto their children for a possession." So there's these lands. God says, look, I've got something for you. Don't settle for less than what I've got for you. Don't try to take something I didn't promise you.
If you take anything, you pay for it.
That's right.
They give you, you pay for it.
So before we go too far, they've compassed Mount Seir. They've gone round and round this mountain. When we are in a holding pattern, when we're in the waiting room.
God's waiting room.
It's not easy, is
it? It's not easy.
Isn't there the temptation to take the bull by the horns and get something done? But folks, Deuteronomy 2, verse 3, the day will come when God says, okay, you've compassed, you've circled around long enough, we're going to get moving here. We have to wait on God to give the signal about our next move, don't we?
We do, and let's go to the New Testament. Those that listen to Exploring the Word a lot know that you do a lot of learning by looking at the Old Testament, going to the New Testament, looking at the New Testament, going to the Old Testament, because they fit together. They're not in contradiction. They complement one another. Do you remember the man, Paul, on his second missionary journey, and he was revisiting the churches that he had visited on the first missionary journey, but then he wanted to go further. And his desire was to go further north. And he looked at the map. Now, everybody says, did he pray about every place he went? It looked like he went from this city to the next city. Didn't send like, oh, God, send me over there. It wasn't like he'd go 100 miles that way and then 200 miles the other way. No, he went from city to city. So he was looking at going further north. And guess what happened? The Holy Spirit had a different calling upon his
life.
Yes, yes. And he told him, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has hindered you from going north. And he got his call to come over here. The man in Macedonia, it's called the Macedonia Call. Okay? That's what you're talking about, Alex. There's times when you have to wait upon the Lord. Paul's a good illustration of that. He went to the 3 years in the, in Arabia. And then when he came back, guess where he went? He went to Tarsus, and we don't know for sure what all he did there until Barnabas went and got him. We don't know the exact number of years after he'd gotten out of Arabia and before he came to the church at Antioch. There's speculation on how many years it was, but we don't know exactly. But it was kind of like being, okay, Lord, you've taken me, you've called me, I've gone to seminary 3 years, in Arabia, and now I'm just sitting here in Tarsus, I'm waiting for you. Being in God's waiting room is pretty difficult sometimes.
It can be, but there's glory and there's beauty when you're trusting God. And this is a trust thing. I mean, really, we've got to remember He's the God of the universe. He's a holy, righteous God. He's a merciful God. Trusting God might be a hard thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. Now, what's so beautiful about Deuteronomy chapter 2, Moses encapsulates 38 years of their history in a short passage, and he's calling on them to remember. And I love this. It talks about some battles they had to fight and how some Ammonite leaders, God allowed their heart to be hardened. But this is it. It says in verse 36, the brink of the river, the city that is by the river into Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all unto us. Hey, when you're walking in the power, provision, the leading, the protection of God, the cities that you have to face will fall before you.
Most of the time, not every time,
yeah.
Most of the time, God gives you a little preview of what's coming big in your life.
Yeah.
Here, he's fighting Shion, and he goes to the conquest of Og, and they get two victories, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, they were great victories, but they were just minor skirmishes compared to what's going to take place across the river.
Yeah.
Many times, let me just give an example in my life. Do you remember when they used to have youth weeks in church and they'd have a youth Sunday? And if they didn't preach on Sunday morning, they'd let the young person preach, quote, on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Well, I was a preacher before I was a preacher.
Oh, wow.
For youth week, they asked me to bring the message. So I brought the message, and I did. I had no earthly idea. I had no idea of me being a preacher. I didn't want to be. I'll be very frank with you, Alex. I didn't want to be. It wasn't in mind. I had other things in mind.
Yeah.
They called me, and they said, okay, ahead. So I went together, and the pastor helped me, and I developed. It was more like a devotional, yeah. But I gave it to the whole church. That was a preview of what God had in store for me. I'm not saying, like I say, it's not like it is always that way, but I've found it to be a tendency in the Bible and a tendency in people's lives. He gives you, you can call it a test, you can call it a preview, but he gives a little bit of that before the big battle
comes up.
And that's what he does for them.
Well, I've shared this story before. I was flying into Kansas City, and the airplane's coming down. And I look out, and there's that beautiful Kansas City Royals Stadium that you can see right beside I-40. And they've got a great sign. And some of you have been there. You know what I'm talking about. They've got this great sign for the Kansas City Royals. When my plane is coming in, I look out the window, and right across the street is a Little League field. And I thought, wow, they're so close to each other. But you don't get to the Big League field unless you were pretty diligent and faithful across the street in the Little League field.
That's great.
They're so close, but yet it's so hard to get from one to the other. Now, my friend, you are not going to be able to do the big exploits for God unless you trust Him and are faithful with the little assignments of today. Because today's little assignment is not all that little. Now, you're preaching to millions of people on the radio every week, but you were faithful in doing a Youth Sunday devotional some years ago.
That's right. God, you know, don't wait for God to bring it to you. You just be faithful where you are. Be faithful with what God has brought you to. Now, look, if you would, at chapter 3. It's about Og. Wasn't he the giant, if I'm not mistaken, Alex?
And do you know the translation? I was just looking at this. It's very similar to Nephilim, but it's not. Yeah. It's really Nepharim.
Right.
But it's it means fearsome ones.
Yeah.
There was some fearsome ones they had to face off, wasn't it?
It was, and he was cubits high. I put it that way, yeah. Look at it in verse 11. You see 9 cubits. Its length, 4 cubits in width, you know, that's his bed. That's where he lay, okay? Now, verse 5 and 6, all these cities, this is chapter 3, all these cities were fortified with high walls, gates, and bars, besides a great many rural towns. Okay, that sounded a little bit familiar, like Jericho and the other cities.
Mm-hmm.
So again, he gave them obstacles. Have you found out most of the time you have to go through some obstacles before you get to the place where God wants you to be, Alex? We call them obstacle courses. You know, you have to go through them. Here, they had to go through this wilderness for these years. They had to learn knowing how to bargain with people like it did the Ammonites, the Moabites. But they also had to learn to fight the way they did here in the latter part of chapter 2 and 3. So God is preparing them. Have you found out in your life that God has prepared you for what He has in store for you?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And the thing that prepares you for tomorrow is the thing today. You know, I don't mean to talk about myself, but I was so shy and never dreamed that I would be a public speaker, preacher, evangelist. Couldn't even get up in front of my English class and give a presentation. But then I got saved, started working in church, started putting on youth events, you know, and we brought a bunch of Liberty University students down to Pleasant Garden, North Carolina, and had a youth rally of about 100 people, and I liked it. And then the next year we had 200 people. Didn't know that I would one day be renting coliseums, as we've done many times. But and I give God the glory. The thing is, that assignment that you might think is rather insignificant, do it.
Be faithful.
Be faithful. You never know what God is preparing you. And we've got to remember that He is the one who plots our journey.
Okay, before we get through, I want to go to the latter part of chapter 3, and it's a transition of leadership. Just let me read, and we'll close out with making comments on this. And this is what it says in verse 21 of chapter 3. "And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, 'Your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms through which you pass. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you.' Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, 'O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness, your mighty hand, for which what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon.'" That was his prayer.
Yeah.
God answered him, but it was what?
"Well, the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes." God said, "No, and don't bring it up again." Really, didn't he?
Is that an answer of prayer?
Yeah, it is.
So sometimes God's answer is just what, Alex?
Well, I've heard people say there's three answers: yes, no, and wait for something better. But I think it's interesting. Remember, Paul said, "I besought the Lord three times for this, and God said, 'No, my grace is sufficient for you.'" Verse 26 says, "God would not hear me. The Lord said to me, 'Let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter.'"
That's right.
Isn't that something?
It is. I've heard enough. Like you said, speak no more. Answer is no.
Yeah.
And notice what else he does. "Go up to the top of Pisgah," that's a mountain, "and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold, it is with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan."
Yeah.
"But," what? "Command
Joshua.
And encourage him, strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see." You'll see it, but you won't go in.
That's right.
Listen, I believe this is leadership.
Well, you remember back in Numbers, Moses had gotten angry in Numbers chapter 20, and he struck the rock, which represented Christ. And I mean, that was...
Struck it two times there.
He did. You're right.
Right. The first time was all right.
Yeah.
But don't strike it again.
Well, God said, "Touch the rock."
Exactly.
And water would come out. But he got angry. And, you know, to me, this is like maybe the darkest chapter in Moses' life.
I think so.
Now, he had murdered an Egyptian once. That was not good. But this was really against God.
Well, what this is, it shows you the importance of the cross.
Exactly.
Because that rock was Christ, okay?
Yeah.
And he died on the cross once and for all.
And so God says to Moses here in Deuteronomy chapter 3, you can look, you can see it, but you're not going to go in it. But you get Joshua and encourage, strengthen him, verse 28. He will go over before the people and cause them to inherit the land which you will see. This is Exploring the Word, Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, and we are in Deuteronomy. Oh, it's good. So call us 888-589-8840, and after this, we'll get to your questions.
Where does all the time go?
This is Words on Worship with Charles Billingsley.
As a worship leader, it dawned on me the other day that over 98% of my time is spent off the platform rather than on it. And really, the same applies to all of us. Most of our time is not spent sitting in church. We're out working jobs all week or racing our kids around town. So we must learn to worship as we go. In every moment and in every situation, we can and should worship the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says, "In whatsoever you do, do it wholeheartedly as to the Lord and not unto men." In other words, make the focus of all your life about bringing glory and honor to God. Then on Sunday, when you are sitting in church, the worship service will take on a whole new meaning because you're worshiping Jesus the other 98% of your time.
This has been Words on Worship with Charles Billingsley. Pass the Plate is all about giving made easy. Learn more at PassThePlate.org.
A quick trip to Aunt Helen's unexpectedly became an extended stay, and you're without enough of your medication. It's good to know you have real-time access to a national network of board-certified doctors with just a phone call. MD Live is non-emergent medical care 24/7, fitting your schedule. No forms to fill out and no waiting room because all you need is your non-narcotic medication. HCBenefits.com. That's HCBenefits.com.
The topic of homosexuality has become a hot-button issue in today's society. And while most people have formed their own opinions and ideas on the issue, many do that without paying heed to God's Word. Tuesday on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Jeffress talks about what happens to those who consciously reject God's truth. Don't miss Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
AFR Talk with Pathway to Victory, each weekday morning at 7 Eastern, 6 Central.
Did you know that the Arlington National Cemetery was originally built during the Civil War? That's right, it was the home of Robert E. Lee, actually, who was the general of the Confederacy. Little known fact about the Arlington National Cemetery, which today is an iconic tribute to our fallen heroes. Hello everyone, I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll visit the Arlington National Cemetery in September on our spiritual heritage tour, as well as going to many other sites in our nation's capital. We'll also go to the home of George Washington, Mount Vernon. In addition, Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown will be a place we visit just prior to our nation's capital. So if you'd like to go on either of these tours in September, or both, we welcome you to find out all the information at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Well, we've made it to Deuteronomy 3. You can read on ahead, and we're going to pick it up tomorrow. But right now, we, as we always do at this point in the show, we go to phone calls. And Bert, it's so exciting, the number 888-589-8840. And we give a big, big Exploring the Word welcome to all our new listeners up there in Northern Virginia and all around our nation's capital.
And we want to hear from one of them, okay?
All right.
Robert from Virginia. Robert, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Welcome. I appreciate your welcome. Can you hear me again?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we can hear you, Robert. Well, thank you.
First call from that
first
new
call.
Station.
You got it, man.
Well, I just wanted to encourage you guys and welcome you. Finally, this radio station is in our area. And I used to listen to you almost on a daily basis traveling in Western Virginia. I drive a truck, and I just really want to encourage you. And I talk about your ministry a lot, but nobody's ever really heard of you, around these parts. And I just want to let you know that we really appreciate what you guys are doing. God bless you, and welcome to the DC metro area.
Well, thank you so much, brother. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling people about us. And, I mean, to hear from you is a great, great honor, my friend. And we look forward to many great days of broadcasting ahead.
Okay, we prayed. I just feel like praying again. This is one of those days of prayer. Let's pray for the ministry in Northern Virginia. Alex?
Indeed. And thank you again for calling. First call from that new station and first call of the week. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we praise you that you've given the American Family Association this great megaphone in a couple of hundred cities across America, now Northern Virginia, right there at our nation's capital and in the Beltline area. So we do pray for the broadcasting to permeate those airwaves, and Lord, touch the hearts and minds of people. And Lord, we're asking for souls to be saved, for the church to be strengthened. We're asking for the gospel of Christ to go forth. And yes, Lord, we pray for the truth of your word to make a difference in our nation. Lord, we praise you for this network, the Ministry of American Family, and this show that Bert and I get to be a part of, exploring the word, and each and every listener who tunes in, like this caller now. Thank you for it all. Use it as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Robert. Let's go to Maryland and talk to Barbara. Barbara, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm on the fringes. I listened to WTRN when it was Southern Gospel, then you all took it over because of the Pennsylvania having a Southern Gospel station. They lost about their listenership, because their listeners supported radio ministry. Anyway, I have three different radios in the house. They're all on three different stations. There's a delay going from one room to the other room because of the three different things. I cannot get you all in my car anymore, and I am crushed.
Oh, man.
Oh, bummer.
Well, a lot of times the Lord, during the summertime especially, when the heat is really hard, seems like those waves melt a little bit quicker than they do other times. But we'll pray that she didn't hurt. I've heard of God doing some miraculous things with radios, getting stations when they normally don't, Alex.
Oh, well, yeah. And so we thank you for listening. You know, one thing, though, regardless of stations, and we say this, and we have literally dozens of people a week who call us or email, but you can listen online, AFR.net. You can hear live streaming. You can hear archive programs. And so that's one thing that we know.
And the app as well.
That's right. For a mobile device.
You better believe it. I've done that when I've been out before, and it really works. I also want to share this testimony. Because of the internet and everything, it's heard worldwide. I know we're heard on Exploring the Word in foreign countries. I've heard of people, they say, we listen to Bert and Alex every day on Exploring the Word, and they're missionaries in a different country somewhere else. And so that's a blessing.
Listen to this. God is so good. So I called California the other day. There was a church that a friend of a friend wanted me to call this church. So I called him in Gilroy, California. And I said, "Hi, can I speak to the pastor?" And there's a silence. And the lady goes, "Are you Alex McFarland?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "I'm Exploring the Word?" And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Oh, wow, you know, what are you doing, Colin?" I said, "Well, I want to preach at your church." But you never know where people are listening. You know?
Well, we were out at lunch today here in Tupelo, and we went to a place where I go frequently, and you're here. And so you went to ask for a refill, you know, before you left. And the lady asked, "Are you Mr. McFarland?" There it is. And she said, "I know who you are. Don't doubt me." But anyway, yes, it is a joy. Thank you, Barbara, and hope you can get a clearer signal in your car. Let's go to Laura in Ohio. Laura, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi. I just had a comment about, you guys were talking about service opportunities and serving, you know, no matter how small it is or whatever. And we've got an event coming up at our fair that's called Children Choosing Christ. And it's a new thing that I don't know how big it really is, but people are going around to different 4-H fairs and things like that, and they're having tents, and then they've got this little program about how kids can come in, and then they lead them to Christ and things like that. And for some reason, I just do not want to do that. And I don't know if it's because it seems really small or what, but my husband this year told me, "I think we should do that." And I've just been really balking against it, and I've been like, I am not doing that.
Okay, Laura, let me share with you two things that I hear real quickly. Alex has preached to thousands. I've had the opportunity to preach not quite as many larger crowds as Alex, but I've preached at larger churches. I just want to tell you, size should not have anything to do with it. It's where the Lord wants. And your husband desiring it may be an encouragement to him to be a part of that as well. I don't know all the details, but there's, you know, it to serve. I mean, Jan and I get to serve as a couple. You and Angie, she doesn't. She has to stay home quite a bit, but many times she helps you, like Truth for a New Generation. Yeah. Man, she's there helping and working. The joy of working together is a blessing, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And so oftentimes there are things that we want to do, God lets us do, and he blesses. And then there's some things that we maybe necessarily didn't think of, and we do it, and then we find out that, wow, that was really a blessing. You know, you pray about that, but I've always viewed ministry like this, Bert, not so much as a have-to, but as a get-to.
It's a privilege.
You know what
it?
I mean?
Yes, it's a privilege. I mean, and God could have used anybody else on this radio program besides you and me. We are privileged to be able to do this, Alex.
That's true.
And that's true. So, and you know, but praise the Lord.
So, you know, you think about that. A lot of children come to Christ. There's a Child Evangelism Fellowship, CEF. I don't know if you've ever heard
I
of
have.
That.
Yes,
incredible
I am.
Ministry.
Very familiar with it.
Pastor Jesse Overholtzer, so many, many decades ago. And be a good opportunity to share the gospel with some children. So you,
what if it's just one, Alex?
If it's just one,
who could that one be?
I know. Do you know what I've heard? I'm not sure exactly all the details, but there was a mission in India years ago, and only about one response happened, and they thought it might not be so successful. But it was Ravi Zacharias, who has turned out pretty good.
Amen. Okay, let's go to Arkansas, and we're talking. Is it Ozar?
Yes.
Welcome, brother.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question from Bible, and I was reading Bible a long time ago when I was a child. I'm a Muslim, but
yes, sir.
Sometimes I listen to your radio, and I have a question. If I'm not mistaken, there was a moment when either Jacob or Isaac, he gave a blessing to his son, but his son and his mother or his wife lied to him. And I don't understand this moment. How could he get a blessing by lying to his father? So I would like to know your comment on that.
Good question. Well, Isaac was old and just beyond able to see. And there was a trickery going on with his wife and his son. And he did get a blessing that was intended for his other brother, but he received it. Here's what I say, Ozark. This is, I go back to a passage in the book of Romans, and it'd be good for you to read the book of Romans. If you're looking for some answers and looking, what you want to do is concentrate on Jesus. Just let me share that with you. Jesus is the centerpiece. But God is able to take messes and junk and work it for good.
Yeah.
It's not that he wanted that or caused that, but he used that, and it was ultimately Jacob that got the blessing, because Esau was the word is he was more worldly minded of the things. He would sell his birthright and now the blessing. And Jacob, although he was a trickster, God saw in him a spiritual being that needed the blessing.
Yeah, and by the way, thank you for listening. God bless you. And remember that not everything the Bible records, God is necessarily approving of. Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister, not his wife. And just because the Bible records it doesn't mean that God is necessarily condoning it or approving it. The beautiful thing, as Bert alluded to about the sovereignty and providence of God, is that God can work around our disobedience even.
That's amazing to me how he does that.
Yeah.
He's done it in my life many times, Alex.
Yeah.
Testimony after testimony that God has taken some mistakes that I've made. I mean, and some of them were deliberate bad choices, okay?
Right, right.
And I know that hurts me to say deliberate bad choice. Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm.
But God, in his graciousness and in his power, was able to take that, and he showed me a better way, praise God, and he forgave me. Praise God for his forgiveness. That's one of the things, If I were looking for a God, Ozar, that you can trust, I would look for a God that knows how to forgive, because so many things in our lives are just wrong. Praise God that God, through Jesus Christ, going to the cross and paying that price for us, can forgive us and yet hold His holiness. That's magnificent, isn't it, Alex?
Did I hear the call? Are you still there, sir?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, did I hear you say that you're a Muslim?
Yes, I am Muslim. Yes.
Well, I really appreciate you listening to the show. And as I'm sure you probably know, that we Christians have some different beliefs than Muslims. And we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to wash our sins away. We believe that we can have a new birth relationship. In other words, all of our sins can be forgiven, and we can know that we know that we know that we'll go to heaven when we die, because we've trusted in who Christ is and what He did. Let me just share this. It was my privilege. About 2 years ago, I was in Cincinnati, Ohio. There was a wonderful ministry called Call of Love. Call of Love. And it's a ministry, if you can find them on the web, of former Muslims that have become Christians. And they've trusted Christ as their Savior. And I spoke, but the joy of the whole conference was I heard dozens and dozens, and these were highly educated people, many of them doctors, engineers, who talked about finding peace, forgiveness, finding absolute assurance through a relationship with Jesus. So if you Google around, you'll probably find Call of Love. There are a lot of ministries. But I want to say I thank you for listening to this show, and we hope you'll listen every day, because you're always welcome here to listen. I do. I'm going to be straight with you. I hope you'll open your heart to Jesus and trust Him and Him alone to be your Lord and Savior. But we want you to listen here, and you call anytime you can, my friend.
Amen. And it's honor. Listen, a lot of times we in America is, you know, we look at it more from the idea of guilt and innocence. A lot of times, and there's this issue of honor and shame. Jesus Christ, it's an honor for us to even be named with Him, and praise the Lord. He overcomes that shame, doesn't He? And He gives us an honor. It says that we become a royal priesthood in Him. That's right. What we get with Christ. We're going to get one more caller in today, and it's from Texas, and it's Melissa. Melissa, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. I hadn't planned on saying this. Y'all just blessed my heart in hearing the previous caller. Because that was something a long time ago that kind of weighed on my heart, too. How is it that someone that did trickery and, as you called it, you know, end up getting blessed? But
Let me answer that real quickly. God changed him. He even changed his name. He went from Jacob to Israel. Mm-hmm. He went from a trickster to a prince of God. God is amazing at what He sees and what He knows and what He does, and He even takes those things and works them. And we're really the ones that were blessed, Melissa. We're the ones that was blessed because Jacob was blessed. So I praise the Lord for that. I didn't mean to go on that way, but go ahead, Melissa.
Oh, no, I just want to thank y'all for that. My heart feels touched, and every time God answers some questions that I've had, it really touches my heart. And one of the questions, like the one that man had, was when y'all were talking about Moses and how he struck the rock because he got angry. I didn't really understand that, because to me it sounded in reading the verses, and it's been a while since I've read that passage now, but it sounded like he was mad at the people. You know, he was angry at the people. So I haven't understood why. You know, if he's angry at the people, why, you know?
Okay, real quickly, go ahead, Alex. Short answer.
It was a lot of things. He was frustrated with a whole lot of things. People, and he was mad at God because he felt like God just wasn't coming through for him. But at any rate, the anger and the outburst of his heart, there was a consequence. Now, God loved him, forgave him. But there was a consequence, and that consequence was that he didn't get to enter the land.
And tune in tomorrow, because we're going to tell you the rest of the story about going into the land. Let me share this with you. Alex and I go out. It's been a joy to be with you today. We want you to tell someone about Exploring the Word.
But most of all, tell everyone about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.